Hello, confrères. This is Father Henchy, and continuing the series of lectures on the charism of St. Gaspar Bertone. These reflections are geared certainly to my Stigmatine confrères, but also to the members of the Stigmatine laity and any chance wayfarers who have happened by. So this is the 11th lecture in the series entitled The Mystery of the Stigmata in the Charism of St. Gaspar Bertone. So in order to present this, let us begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And pray for us, O Holy Spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So during these 11 lectures, we have looked at the impression that St. Gaspar Bertone received from the mystery of the Trinity. As you may remember, he was going out on a Sunday night to a convent of St. Joseph in Verona, and in his diary he noted a painting of the Trinity. And what stood out to St. Gaspar was the Heavenly Father handing over his only begotten and most beloved Son in a generous and total self-giving. As I read these constitutions and Father Bertone's early diaries, his letters, and his conferences, it seems, as it did clearly with St. Ignatius of Loyola, that he gradually developed that image, that kind of transfiguration that happened to him by looking at that painting. And it's interesting on an aside that one of his ideas was in his constitution that each one of us, through life, try to draw a picture of Jesus Christ. It's not far, as Father Fabro teaches us, from Kierkegaard's contemporaneity. Kierkegaard's greatest concern was the number of Christians in name only. Or as we read in Gaudium et Spes, how many Christians conceal rather than reveal the face of God. So it seems that Father Bertone, with his missionary idea, based on the writings and constitutions of St. Ignatius Loyola, developed this little community, one that would be open to whatever needs, the changing needs, the different locales might have, as interpreted by the bishops of those locales. So we've seen that the unity and pluralism and the Trinity and the specialization, even though we are all meant to be specialized in some area of sacred theology and sacred studies, yet somehow we're supposed to stay together. And this was the great mystery of the Trinity, unity in diversity or distinction. This idea of the Trinity in the charism of St. Ignatius came to me from the comparative studies that I have made over a number of years between St. Ignatius and St. Gaspar Bertone. St. Ignatius of Loyola has a premium, which is the Latin for a kind of an introduction to his constitutions, which clearly emphasizes the Trinity. In the old Jesuit rule, when you think of it as a premium, it's rule number 134, so it's a bit along the way that the Jesuit founder began to present this ideal. Anyway, this is what St. Ignatius wrote. Although it must be the supreme wisdom and goodness of God, our Creator and our Lord, which will preserve, direct, and carry forward in his divine service this least society of Jesus, just as he deigned to begin it. Although what helps most on our part toward this end must be more than any exterior constitution, is the interior law of charity and love which the Holy Spirit writes and engraves upon hearts. Nevertheless, since the gentle arrangement of divine providence requires cooperation from his creatures, and since, too, the Vicar of Christ our Lord has ordered this, and since the examples given by the saints and reason itself teach us so in the Lord, we think it necessary that constitutions should be written to help us to proceed better in conformity with our institute along the path of divine service which we have entered. For St. Ignatius, this is the modus operandi, or the modus procedendi, as he called it. And this would relate us back to Constitution of St. Gaspar, number 2. The purpose of the community is to serve as apostolic missionaries in the assistance of the Church. And in Constitution 2, he tells us how we are to do this. And he provides that Constitution with the number of rules and ideals on how to be more submissive to the Church. As has been noted, Father Bertone's devotion to the Trinity was also much enkindled by his contemplation of a painting. This same fascination for painting is noted in his original constitutions when he presents the Holy Spirit as an artist. So as you notice in the rule of St. Ignatius, was the Lord, was Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Well, Father Bertone is not quite as specific, but this is what he said in his constitution number 223. Moreover, there is nothing which causes us to love another more than to perceive his special endowment of virtues and gifts of the Holy Spirit, and to contemplate him as the icon of God, painted with the most beautiful colors of grace. If, therefore, all strive within themselves to grow in these virtues and gifts, and to consider them often in others, and if they regard others as superior to them, as St. Paul tells us in Soul, rejoice over their spiritual gifts and give thanks to God, mutual charity will flourish among them in a wondrous manner. Now keep in mind, before St. Ignatius died, he had 1,000 Jesuits, 80% of which were clearly on the university level and beyond. Some of them were deeply involved, and at times too deeply involved, in the politics of Europe to give birth to the not very complimentary term of Jesuitical, the gray eminence behind the throne so often. But this beautiful idea of having very wide tasks to perform, very wide specializations, it's very hard to keep that in one community. How do we keep unity when some people are a specialist in scripture, and the fellow next to them at table knows how to fix washing machines? But that was the very idea. St. Gaspar had an extraordinary time dedicated to communicating with the community so that the learned man could share their expertise with other confreres, and these other confreres in their practical way of life could assist these great scholars and teachers in their role. The ideal is a very difficult one to achieve, but the image of it all, of course, is the Trinity, one God in three divine persons carrying out one and the same task for the glory of God and the salvation of humanity. So among these early Jesuits, there were certainly some great scholars. And some of them, one of them, in fact, the first successor to St. Ignatius was a Jew. His name was Father Diego Lainez, L-A-I-N-E-Z. Father Diego Lainez was a Jewish convert, or somebody in his family had been. And because of his gifts of organization, he was chosen as the immediate successor of St. Ignatius. So this beautiful thought from St. Gaspar about looking around the community and noticing not the faults of one another, but the gifts that God has given to the men who joined and who were working seriously in the Jesuit community on behalf of the Church. Once again, our great Sigmatine historian, Father Joseph Stofella, pointed out that this, in his presentation of Father Bertone's original constitutions, that had taken word from Father Suarez, the Jesuit, as are these constitutions that that are present here in 2:23 and those that follow. So once more, the Trinitarian dimension of St. Gaspar's charism comes through. In addition to admiring the portrait that the Holy Spirit paints in others, there is also an idea that is very close to St. Paul's presentation of what is now known as fraternal humility, found in his introduction to the Christological hymn put on the mind of Christ Jesus, found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and following. And this is what St. Paul wrote. There must be no competition among you, no conceit, but everybody is to be self-effacing. Always consider the other person to be better than yourself. In your minds, you must be as Christ Jesus. His state was divine, but he did not cling to his equality with God, but emptied himself. So just think for a minute, the first wave of Jesuit members were ordinary Spanish boys, soldiers, men, but also a great number from the nobility, like the Xavier families or the Borgia families, those families that penetrated the history of Spain and throughout Europe, sometimes for good and very often for bad. But two of the great ones were found in the early Jesuits, St. Francis Xavier, who poured himself out in the distant missions of China and Japan, and then St. Francis Borgia, a great contemplative and mystic and a great, great missionary. So there is a twofold tendency in the virtue of Christian humility in Father Bertone's rule. First of all, in the climate of that time, considering the superiors as above us, and then toward our confreres as equals and others who may even be, at least educationally wise, inferior. These grades no longer exist, these levels, but this was the way it unfolded, to be a company or a society. The second aspect is particular to Christianity, this great deference toward equals and inferiors that God gave us the living example in Jesus Christ. So the humility of a Christian is his or her manifestation to this loving and humble condescension, not condescending attitude, but to send to be with us. This was the interpretation of St. John Chrysostom. Condescension doesn't mean pride. It means God came down and descended and lived with us, the Emmanuel, which is meant to be eternal. So this manifestation of loving and humble condescension by which God bestows supernatural grace on undeserving creatures. It is at the same time participation of the creature in the divine act of condescension, which empties itself in the supreme service of love to humanity. Humility of the child of God is a filial response to the love of the Creator and Savior. In my Jesuit studies, I came across a very well-known Jesuit theologian who was quite well-known during the Council of Trent. His name was Hieronimo Nadal. In Latin, it would be Natalis, the new birth. Old Hieronimo, or Jerome, was from the island of Mallorca, I think it is, off Spain, where they make wonderful wines. And he was very happy there, a bit of an eccentric priest, living his own comfortable life, sipping the nice wines of Spain in his afternoon, and somehow he ran into St. Ignatius of Loyola. And the impact was so strong that Nadal was no longer a peaceful retiree at the age of 40. He really believed that God was calling him to join these Jesuits who were being considered almost by the Inquisition. They seemed strange. They seemed like the Illuminati or people with a kind of an exaggerated enthusiasm. They really very nearly ended up in jail, the whole crowd of them. And this was in some way the basis of their struggles with the Dominican Order, who at that time, sadly, were running the Inquisition in parts of Spain. At any rate, this pluralism of specializations, along with community of life, is almost a square circle. It's an antinomy. How do you stay together when you're doing all kinds of different tasks? people become really good at what they're doing. And it's very hard to spend a lifetime with other people who may not be so good, but may also have a personal gift that they can offer this specialist. So St. Gaspar's ideal reads this way, Rule 228. Wherefore, as St. Augustine says, let us all help with one heart and one soul, as if he meant to say, to be of one heart in helping, it is necessary to be of one soul. He adds, let each one honor God in the other, for you have been made his temples, because God alone is the one who makes brethren to live together in unity. It's not a natural thing to do. And this uniformity adds greatly in making God known to everyone, and as a consequence, uniting all to God. So even though the imagery may be stretched a little bit, the Jesuit theologians find no difficulty in seeing this missionary ideal as flowing out of the heart, if we could use that term, or the very bosom of the Most Blessed Trinity. God so loved the world, he gave up his only Son and sent him to redeem the world. The Holy Spirit comes as gift, as we read in John 4 to the woman of Samaria. Oh, if you only knew the gift that God is offering to you. So, for what it's worth, this is a reflection, an attempt of application of the Stigmatine rule to the Stigmatine life and the apostolic mission. This then reminds us of the Stigmatine call to unity. In this age, it is so hard to be together. There is a whole series of conferences I hope to give when this series on the Trinity is over, on Holy Communion and the longed-for community in the Church. There's a long letter from John Paul II on family unity. There's a great worry about Episcopal unity, the unity among priests. There's a document in Vatican II on this fraternal sacramentality, the union of husband and wife, the union of families, and on and on and on we go, in the hopes that this would eventually lead to unity in a tired, violent, hate-filled world. So if we could make some little difference to stem this tide, this would certainly fulfill St. Gaspar's wildest dreams for his very small and unimportant congregation called the Stigmatine Fathers. So this then leads us to a reflection on the Stigmatine call to unity, which is a continuation of this same theme. St. Thomas has that lovely formula for hope. It's a future good, difficult, but possible. As we said before, nobody yearns for evil. No person of faith or Christian in his best or her best mind would ever yearn for evil. The problem is the good we're looking for is difficult. And the more common response is discouragement, if not downright depression. There's an awful struggle in our world today with depression. And one of the ways of facing this from a spiritual standpoint is try to share hope, try to share joy. Pope Paul wrote his beautiful, beautiful letter on joy, Gaudete in Domino, and Pope Francis wrote his beautiful letter on the gospel joy. The problem is, though, it stays very, very difficult, and some people become overwhelmed by the difficulty. It's difficult because it's so sublime, this goal. But it's possible, and that is so primarily and solely because of the mercy of God. God's mercy makes it possible. So this is what we'll look at in this present segment of these reflections. So hope does present a future good that is difficult, but also possible. St. Gaspar treated of this in his Constitution number 185. He wrote, the Stigmatine vocation is considered arduous and difficult. The scope of our congregation, though, is to serve the Church through the various and proper duties of its vocation. So this is the problem. We're called to unity, and we live a very diverse life, hoping that each one of us would acquire competence in some area of the Word of God. One of the real problems for the Stigmatine community seems to be the fact that on the one hand, there is this wide variety of ecclesial services, each one of which is demanding more and more competence in widely different fields. It's never enough to have common sense and the Baltimore Catechism, as used to be said in times gone by, what is needed for the clergy. Far more is needed, and it's a great challenge to keep this value up with all the demands that are made on today's priests and religious. At the same time, Father Bertone makes a very strong appeal for charity, fraternal family, based on the ideal of the early church. In the idealized writing of the Acts of the Apostles, they were presented as having one heart and one soul. Where and in God's name, when did that ever happen? We know the Gospels were written because of the disharmony in the church, that there was an effort to bring about harmony, which is not a natural tendency. Each one of us is like Moses. We're on the far side of the wilderness. Moses had married a wife. He had a job and good benefits, so he was ready to settle in. Same with Abraham. He was ready for retirement, and the Lord tells him he's supposed to be the founder of a new nation, of a new family. And the same with Peter. Peter was very happy fishing close to the shore, taking care of his little family, whatever that was. And the Lord says, go out into the deep. This is the challenge. And in our case, it seems to be the paradox of these wide variety of services and yet a deep communion within. My own background is St. Thomas Aquinas. But can you imagine sitting down to a lunch next to me and me telling you about the transcendental relationship between body and soul is a natural supposit for the resurrection? How far do you think that would get? However, the stigmatine union has often been tested because of this pluralism. Christian charity is not the natural response of human beings. It's a Christian ideal to love one another with that same love which God the Father loved Jesus, as we read in John 15:9 and again 17:23. So the paradoxes of the stigmatine vocation have been noted by many through the years. In 1916, on November 4th, which was the first centenary of the Community Foundation, there was no public celebration because of World War I then raging in Europe. At that time, the Father General was Father John Baptist Tomasi, and by the gift of divine providence, I served his last Mass. His name was John, so he celebrated his name day 2 days after Christmas. And that year of 1953, I had had the flu, so I had to go to Mass later, and I was serving his 8 o'clock Mass. And because of the octave of Christmas, he had to say the creed. He said it 4 times, so I realized something was wrong. So I could tell the people in the pews realized that something was the matter with Father Tomasi. Anyway, the young religious son went and called a superior. They came down and brought Father Tomasi to bed, from which he never got up again. He died within a week after that, and we were all present in his life, in his room, when he died. At any rate, he wrote a beautiful circular letter commemorating the event of the first centenary, in which he described as paradoxes as being so evident in the early community. And this is what he wrote. The stigmatine is called to a continuous quest for the hidden way, and yet he needs to add to the wide reputation that the community enjoyed in its early years. The stigmatine life is meant to be somewhat austere, yet coupled always with a genuine joy and happiness. There needs to be some kind of a spirit of poverty, and yet our houses and churches should be debt-free and unostentatious. There needs to be a true life of community, and yet we perform the most varied activities. A great commitment to study and work, coupled with a solemn piety. So St. Bertone's dream of a united family to a widely diversified, increasingly competent apostolic mission for the assistance of bishops, the very source for stigmatine hope, is itself paradoxical. By his wounds, ours will be healed. That's Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter chapter 2. So even after a lifetime of stigmatine life, I still believe in the hope for unity. Even after all these years, we're not there yet. And there is an old Irish song we often sing or say, it's a long way to Tipperary. There's a long, long way to go. But like the old Lithuanians used to say, if you don't know where you're going, every road is a good one. Well, our road is meant to lead for unity. So at the moment, it is something that is hoped for. So in the ideal presented here, unity, despite trying diversity, manifests itself as the supreme and constant hope of this community. That pluralism that tears at unity is already evident in the internationality of the congregation. And yet there is this paradox that St. Pope John XXIII spoke of socialization, the coming together of nations, as one of the sounds of these times. So I'll continue with these reflections at a later time. Thank you very much for listening, and let us end now with a prayer. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray for us, O holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us all.